Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Joining us on the show is someone that Brian McDonald has not put his name up on the board. All it says on the board is not good enough for Emma Stone.
Dang. Cold-blooded.
Yeah, can...
No doubt.
Is it okay? And David Anderson.
What do you mean, can we? We're doing this.
Well, we are. Yeah, I just thought I'd be courteous. DA's kind enough to come on with us every week. And, of course, former Texans wide receiver, co-host of the Average Sports Show on Wednesday nights here on Sports
Radio
16.
You're going to play my confession that
yes.
I got just flat out ignored?
Yes.
I didn't even get past the security guard.
Yeah, we want to play your story that you conveyed to Sean on your
not
show.
Not while I'm on. Wait till I leave, please.
We can't. Well,
Tell the story to us.
Yeah, we wanted you to give us the. Yeah, it's too late now. We kind of teased.
Do you want the story? Do you want me to just tell you the story so you don't have to play it?
No. Let's play it. Screw it.
When I signed my deal on the Texans, I was going back to. I was really excited, really pumped. Finally, had some money. I thought I was famous. I was only Arrested Development, tiny famous in Houston. No one else knew about me. And I hit up my PR lady to try to get me a date with Emma Stone for the ESPYs. Emma Stone's publicist responded, "Who? No thanks."
What? Literally?
She wasn't famous yet either. She had been on like one movie, and I was like, I'm going to try to go on a date with this chick. Failed miserably.
She said, "Who? No
Her
thanks."
Publicist said, "Who? No thanks."
All right, see, so DA, I play that because that is the clean, nice audio version, and I feel like I share that, and I go, that's what people can get on the Average Sports Show when they tune in on Wednesday nights. Yeah. Stories like you getting rejected by Emma Stone.
You swing for the fence and don't swing at all, Sean. You get up there, you take your hacks, and then you get out. You know how to get out of the batter's box.
Shoot.
You get back in.
Shoot your shot, DA, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, or what does Michael Jordan say?
I would have never known. Yeah. I would have never known.
Who knows how your life might have changed if she actually got back to you and said yes.
I don't know. I'd probably be on a gigantic drug binge, probably somewhere in South Africa.
Hey, DA, on a more serious note, this Maryland situation where the with the coaching staff and this Neanderthal strength coach and the player who passed away, and they had this big press conference today where now they're doing an investigation of the program. I feel like football players and former football players have a little different view on this story, at least the ones that I've listened to and talked to, than the average Joe does. The average Joe looks at this and goes, oh, I can't believe these things are going on, and all they're cursing at the players, and oh, this needs to stop. How close is what you saw, other than the player dying, obviously, how close is some of the stuff that you saw or you've read about maybe within that Maryland story to things that you've either experienced or heard of in your time as a player?
It's 100%. I mean, it's not any different than kind of what I experienced in college. I think, you get guys throwing up all over the field. You guys had guys passed out, laying everywhere after runs, getting MF'd and screened at by coaches and strength staffs. The thing about football at that level is there's a lot of kind of intimidation that goes on. It's very kind of old school militaristic, I guess is the kind of the right word to kind of capture what you're thinking at, like old, Full Metal Jacket type screaming at guys to get them to kind of break them. And unfortunately, I don't want to say kids don't respond to that as much as they used to, but I think coaches have been pushing the boundaries of what these athletes can do and what they expect of these young athletes. And it's obviously hit a threshold and it's got some negative kind of things going on. And everyone needs to sit back and figure out what is the purpose. What are we really trying to do here? Are we trying to get these kids in, elite shape? Oh, I think we accomplished that. Or are we trying to, snap this kid in some other mindset? Maybe we should try to do it a different way.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, I think, DA, because I don't think it's overly harsh to say that the culture of football is a culture of intimidation and bullying. I mean, it's really at the core of the culture, and I just wonder if that's going to change.
Well, I mean, you're seeing a change in the way guys recruit, in the way that they talk to players, and the way that those players kind of now have a voice. I think social media, in a way, has given guys a voice. You see guys like Josh Rosen when they were on campus. You saw guys, the basketball player from Wisconsin, the Northwestern football team, when they tried to unionize, guys have a voice now, and their stories are getting out a lot easier. So that's something coaches have to recognize and adjust to. And the thing that I think we all also need to realize is this next generation of coaches is slowly coming up too. So there's a fight even within the coaching staff where there's guys my age, 35, you know, young 40-year-old coaches coming up and trying to take all the jobs of the, you know, the 56-year-old coaches that have been there and been there screaming at guys. So there's even a fight internally about how to coach these players.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about this Maryland thing is it's not an old school guy. DJ Durkin is a guy who's 40 years old. He got the job at age 38. And it kind of runs contrary to some of what the, you know, you hear about Scott Frost's coaching style, which is a lot looser and nicer, just to, for lack of a better word. That's what makes this Maryland story interesting. Is like, this is a young guy and he's attached at the hip with this, and it's the strength coaches a lot of times, right, DA? A lot of times it's the strength coach as much or more than the head coach.
Strength coaches are nuts. They're them and the special teams coach. They always belong on some weird. I don't know. They belong on the weird kid table at the cafeteria.
let me ask you a quick question.
The weird kids table.
I know, I'm thinking about that also. All right, shifting gears. We mentioned last week Hard Knocks and the Browns and all that. Hugh Jackson. I mean, we know he's 1-31 as a head coach, and so there's already people out there that think he has no idea what he's doing. And he gave those people a little fuel for their fires after the first preseason game when he mentioned that this Antonio Callaway, the receiver, the undrafted rookie who's been turning some heads in practice, but who unfortunately was also arrested recently for marijuana possession, that he was asking out of the first game because he was worn out, and Hugh Jackson said he wouldn't let him leave the game. Danny Woodhead tweeted this, I think. He wrote, quote, "If I'm an undrafted rookie for the Browns, I'm going to make sure I get in trouble before the next game. Playing all game just gives you an opportunity to make the team. This isn't a punishment. This is a gift." Where do you come in on this? Because Jackson was implying that it was like punishment for Antonio Callaway to not allow him to leave the game. And it's being interpreted by many, including Danny Woodhead, as, "You idiot, you were doing the guy a favor."
Yeah, I don't understand that. I remember reading into that a little bit because I was dying for reps when I was an undrafted rookie and I was trying to get on the field. And I think I played two snaps my first preseason game. I would have done anything to get it in at least a quarter, let alone two quarters, to play a whole game in the preseason. Because what these guys don't realize, and maybe it's the culture of the Browns, is in a lot of ways you're not just auditioning for your team, you're auditioning for 31 other teams. Everyone is scouting those preseason games, looking for guys to fill their gaps, looking for guys to pick up on their squad if they have injuries, if they have openings pop up. And you got to take advantage of those opportunities. And for a guy to want to step out of a game, the first preseason game, he thinks he's a little too big for his britches already. The one thing I can say that I did feel is I felt jealous when all of the starters didn't have to play the fourth preseason game. And I never got to sit out the fourth preseason game in my entire career. And that was one thing that I was always like, dang, that stinks. But you got to go out there and perform, and you're never going to, like, pout and say, like, I'm sorry, I'm not playing the fourth preseason game. I believe I'm a starter. It's kind of mind-blowing to say that happens. If that happened on the Patriots, that guy would have been cut.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. David Anderson joining us for his weekly visit. DA, I think we're less than 3 weeks away from the start of the college football season. I'm curious, you know, as when you were in the league, it was probably hard for you to kind of, you know, settle in and watch games on Saturdays and Sundays and things like that. Are you a guy who likes to, like, on a college football Saturday, are you a settle in and watch college football all day type of guy?
Well, Sean, now you know that with the legalization of gambling, there is some more sitting down and watching games. You can put a little juice on these things, make them a little more interesting. But I loved watching Colorado State. I loved watching Colorado lose. I loved watching some Pac-12 football, USC, UCLA, Stanford. I always like watching those games. I love watching Alabama play a good SEC football game. I'll check out a Notre Dame or Michigan game anytime. And then there's always seems to be another kind of mid-level team that's playing a big dog that might be a good matchup. So, yeah, I mean, I love having about – I love it when there's, like, four games going on at once. It doesn't take up your whole Saturday.
Yeah.
But they're almost like they're overlapped a little bit, so you can catch the first half when that game isn't as good, and you can kind of just roll from one into another. That's a good thing about college football opposed to the NFL. You can't really roll into one. They're all on at one time and then all on another time. So, like, college football lets you do that a little bit. So, yeah, I love a good Saturday just kind of sitting there watching your favorite team.
All right, I'm gonna test your level of degenerateness right now, DA. Have you ever bet on a Hawaii game after midnight because it's on?
Well, here's what's interesting. Hawaii plays Colorado State the first game this season. So I've done a lot of research on Hawaii. August 25th, I believe we got an 8.5-point spread. I'm not positive. I think it's been moving. But I have never placed that. But don't forget, I couldn't gamble for the majority of my life.
That's true.
Obviously, playing on a team and then I don't even know if it's legal for me to talk about, but I do bet on sports now.
Yeah, it's okay. I think, that's
I'm a retired athlete. I don't see why that would be wrong.
Right. No, absolutely. You're making up for lost time is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're basically
hey, if Evan Mathis can collect baseball cards, I can bet on baseball games, right?
That's right.
Same thing.
That was a shot, wasn't it?
So good.
I don't want to see the differences.
Hey, DA, what's the topic on the average sports show tomorrow?
Funny you mentioned preparation. So that's kind of you touched on a little bit with the Cleveland Browns. There's some stories in Hard Knocks about how those guys prepare. I've been reading about how college, you know, obviously what was going on in Maryland and how these guys are preparing for camp and what coaches and players expect and how to kind of figure that out and mentally and physically prepare for what's going to go on in during the season and throughout the season. So preparation is this week's topic.
DA, we appreciate it. We'll catch up with you next week.
Have a good one.
All right. See you. David Anderson, Texans, former Texans. I always say Texans wide receiver. He's former Texans wide receiver.
He's always a Texans wide receiver in our hearts.
He will always be a Texans legend, David Anderson.
And wasn't he a sixth-round pick?
Seventh.
So he kind of disrespected himself by I think he referred to himself as an undrafted rookie. I think he said, when I was an undrafted rookie, I was like, well, I think to myself, got drafted.
Maybe he's got that mentality that he was undrafted. You know, like if you think of yourself as undrafted, you're always going to go after it harder, that kind of thing. I think
you're right.
Yeah. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.